Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm joined here with my beautiful wife, Janet.
Hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone. This has been a wonderful holiday season for us. Lots of fun family and food.
and we're very excited this week.
Well, this is an especially joyful week for us. We have all our children home with us, they're here with us in the audience, on the show with us today. And we thought that was pretty appropriate, given that this weekend, this Sunday, is the Feast of the Holy Family.
Yes.
So we thought it might be appropriate to spend this show talking about family and faith life in family. You know, we know that the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, are really the perfect model for us as what a family could and should be, centered on God with mutual and unconditional love, much like, you know, what we see in the Trinity. And, family is also called the domestic church, which is a term that we use to really describe the fact that the first church that children often experience is the church that their family presents to them. So I know, Janet, there was a couple of quotes that I thought that you had found, one from Blessed Mother Teresa. Did you want to read that one? That's on the explaining the experience in the domestic church. Simply saying, right there.
The Christian home is the place where children receive the first proclamation of the faith. For this reason, the family home is rightly called the domestic church. And I'm sorry, Rich, but you're going to have to read the quote because I can't remember where I put it.
All right, but what she says, Blessed Mother Teresa explained the experience in the domestic church very simply, saying the best and surest way to learn the love of Jesus is through the family. And I think that's a great thing to keep in mind for us. Also, the Catechism has something interesting to say as well. Just we're kind of setting the stage for our discussion here, focusing on the importance of faith in the family and how the responsibility the parents have to kind of shape the faith of their children. And in the Catechism it says, the Christian home is the place where children receive the first proclamation of the faith. For this reason, the family home is rightly called the domestic church.
And I love what Pope Benedict has to say. This is a quote from him. He says, every home is called to become a domestic church in which family life is completely centered on the lordship of Christ. And the love of husband and wife mirrors the mystery of Christ's love for the church and his bride. And, you know, certainly we are living in a time where there's a large number of single parent families today. And we know that not every Catholic family consists of a mother and a father. Broken families seem to be more the norm mm-hmm. than the exception. And there are a lot of families being raised by the grandparents, a lot of children. So it might be difficult, you might think, to be able to bring the traditional values of a husband and a wife and the faith, but it really isn't. We are all the body of Christ, and we're all called to help each other on this journey.
And, you know, in our own family, we're going to share with you some of our story, but, you know, we were certainly not the perfect example the Holy Family was to our children, and we went through some evolution there. So we have our children here today. Let me just introduce them by name, and then throughout the course of the show, you'll get to hear them. But we have our eldest son, Drew Napoli, and his girlfriend, Laura. We have Tori and her husband, Rob. And we have Vanessa Napoli and her boyfriend, Kieran, here with us today. So we're going to talk about the, have them explain a little bit, we obviously, I guess maybe we have to start with ourselves,
yes.
Janet, you know, our own faith journey of why we kind of weren't doing, you know, good, what we call good Catholic parenting maybe in our earlier years and how that's evolved for us. So do you want to start with your faith journey? It's just real quick, and we're not, you know, obviously there's a much fuller version of our faith journey for folks, listeners out there, that if you want to hear about Janet and I's journey from where we were to where we are today, that's on one of the recorded shows.
It's the very first recorded program. If you go to Holy Spirit Radio's website, which is www.holyspiritradio.org, you go to the right of the page, the home page, and you'll see a listing for Deacon Dialogues. And if you click on that link, there'll be a list of our programs, and it's the very first program. So speaking about growing up, Rich, we both grew up in Queens, New York, and I grew up in a family of five children. My father worked very hard. In fact, he worked 2 to 3 jobs to support us, and he didn't really attend church because of his heavy work schedule. And as far as a faith life, if we went to church on Sunday, that was pretty much it. That was the Sunday obligation. We met the Sunday obligation, and I grew up thinking that if you went to church on Sunday, then you were religious. There wasn't any prayer life, any, you know, talk about the saints, the wonderful sacramentals that we have. Certainly our parents gave us, the five children, the basics, but that was pretty much it.
Right, right. And that was, you know, my faith of my family was, you know, a little different than yours, but similarly, you know, not that, at least didn't get passed on to me that strongly. So I had a dad who was an atheist, who believed in nothing, and a mom who's a devout Catholic, but maybe somewhat restricted in her ability to pass on the faith because of my dad. So definitely grew up in an environment where, you know, being like, wanted to be like my dad, I wanted to, you know, if he didn't believe in anything, then I didn't believe in anything. So I kind of went through the motions in Catholic grammar school and Catholic high school, but never really, you know, thinking that this was anything real or anything that I should be paying attention to.
So Rich and I, we met. I was 15, he was 17, and we dated. Eventually we got married. I had 3 beautiful children, and I guess as far as the secular world would be concerned, we were wonderful parents because we certainly were centered on our children and providing a loving home for them and providing for their needs, and we enjoyed being parents. It wasn't until 1999 when I needed to have an operation to remove the rest of my left lung. And the reason I needed the operation is because I was born with the disease cystic fibrosis, and now I had a lot of infections, and I needed that lung removed. And I really had to face my own mortality at this point, and I was praying to the Lord like moments before the operation. This was just my very simple and heartfelt prayer. Lord, if this is it, this is it. But if it's not, I'd really like to get to know you better and introduce you to my family. And I really meant that. And with that, I was knocked out and I had the operation. And when I woke up, I remembered those words. And that began my quest to find God and to know him and to introduce him to the family.
Yeah. And that had an effect on all of us. I think you'll hear from our kids is that we all noticed you starting to change. And, you know, that was, that led me toward my change. And they, it was, you know, an ongoing process for me to first watch you change. And then as I said, sort of my yes moment to say, okay, I want to learn more. I want what she has. Remember that sort of that moment of I want what she has. So the, you know, we started on a faith journey that ultimately led to, you know, as where we are today. I'm a deacon. You're, you know, here on the radio often. And, you know, we're certainly, our journey is not over, but it's come a long way, and our kids were part of all that. So I think what we want to do is try to just have them, we have, as I said, we have Drew, Tori, and Vanessa here, and we'll start with them just to, you know, start to ask, learn a little bit about sort of what you thought, if you can think about our faith, well, what was life like before Mama's operation here, and what changed afterwards? And how what that impact made on you. So, you know, if you have any early memories of being in church or anything like that you want to start with, but Drew, I'll let you start with you there.
Hi, everyone out there. This is Drew. Thanks for having us on. This is really, this is really special, I think, for all of us here. But I think growing up, our family religious life was very, it was neutered. It was very much going through the motions. Sometimes we would go to church, but not all the times. And Tori was telling me a very lovely story about earlier about that. I'll let her share that, but it wasn't really until your operation, Mother, that that things really started changing. And it was specifically, I really felt it was, I don't mean to give a shameless plug, but it was really the Catholic radio station that kind of started everything for you and even for us, because I know that I wasn't necessarily getting into the whole spirituality thing. I'm not sure about you two, but at the very least, it gave us that really strong foundation. I remember listening to Catholic Answers and
all the time
in the car,
never
all the time
off.
And just getting this really rich knowledge base that when I did decide to become very religious, like I hit the ground running, because I knew I had all this whole giant back knowledge of everything, of what everything meant and what it stood for. And so that was something really really beneficial having all that.
I can remember you coming home off the bus, and I'm thinking, isn't it wonderful to have Catholic radio praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet as they're walking in from school rather than some soap opera?
Yeah, previously, I would come home, I would watch a snack, and I'd watch a soap opera with you. That was previously what it was. Guiding Light, I think, was the show.
But isn't it so much more beautiful, a Divine Mercy Chaplet?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yeah, it was really amazing to see such
a... This is Tori, by the way.
Hello, everyone.
I apologize, guys. We're all sitting here pretty close, and we're sometimes forgetting, we need to introduce... you want to say a little quick intro, Drew? And then we'll get asked Tori to... We quick bio there.
Yeah, sure. I'm currently a graduate student down at University of Central Florida, studying production in interactive entertainment down there. I'll Tori speak a little bit about herself.
Sure, thank you. I'm Tori. I've been married to this wonderful husband for the past year and a half. We are currently expecting our first child together.
Yay!
We're about 24 weeks along and due in April, and we live in Virginia.
Very good. And then why don't we finish up? Vanessa, why don't you just introduce? Then we'll go back. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we'll go back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vanessa, and I'm 22 years old. I'm a graduate student up at Boston College getting my master's in geophysics. So I'll send it back to Tori now.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Tori, you were commenting.
Just kind of piggybacking on what Drew was saying with, for one, the Catholic radio always being on in our home, I think our mother really involved us in discovering her faith. It wasn't just a journey that she was on by herself. It was something she really made sure her whole family was on together. And, taking us to shrines, praying the rosary, Catholic radio, whatever she could do to make our faith really part of our lives, like to make it our life.
Even if we didn't want it.
Even if we didn't want it. Even if we'd rather be watching television or something. She was doing it, and she really, it was a beautiful gift for us. I think before that, before she kind of drew us into all that, I think it was a little confusing as a child growing up because we weren't seeing in our home what we were learning from our Catholic teachers or from our religious education teachers. Mm-hmm. And they were so wonderful in teaching us all these great things about how to live your faith and, different prayers and going to Mass and confession. And then we'd come home and we weren't seeing that lived out in our home. And so it was kind of, what should I be doing? Should I be doing what my parents are doing or doing what my teachers are telling me? So I think when that really came together for us, it was, just a wonderful fulfillment in our lives.
And I just, as the mom, I just have to give a plug for all the catechists out there saying thank you. Thank you for teaching our kids when Rich and I didn't, It just really, when we finally got our act together, they had a good foundation to build upon. Right. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Sometimes, I don't know if you can share that story, Tori, about confession.
Sometimes
the catechist helped catechize us.
Exactly. It would come back. Children are such a great mouthpiece for, for the truth. So we were in religious education one week. I think I was in fourth grade, and the priest stopped by our classroom to just prepare us all for our confession and to take us through what we needed to think about. And one of the things he mentioned was, if you've been to church, if you've been missing church at all in the past, since you've been to confession last. And he said, even if your parents aren't going, you need to ask them to take you. And so that really kind of stuck with me. And so I, went home and I said this to my mother. He said, will you take me if even if you're not going?
I have to I remember that moment so clearly because you so proudly came through the front door, very excited to tell me, I think, where I have fallen short. And I remember Drew being there and Vanessa. And I said to myself, I'm sure I could do a little song and dance and slip out of this very nicely, and you wouldn't be any the wiser. Or I could own up to the fact that, yes, I failed as your parent. My husband and I, both of us did, but I was there, so I was the one dealing with it. That we did not make church a priority on Sunday.
Right.
So I remember promising you from that day forward we would never miss Mass again and it would be the priority on our weekends. And I was always very grateful for that challenge by that priest that he gave you to come home to tell us. And I was very proud of you for doing so.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a big moment. Now, Vanessa, I know you don't have that many memories of life in the early days there, but maybe you can talk about what you saw as things started to happen for us.
Yeah, so for me, I was 9 years old when my mom decided to make this big change in her life and really start bringing the faith to our family. And being only 9, maybe this is a testimony to the lack of our faith, but I don't remember much before this change. And so what I really remember is my mom being extremely passionate and extremely just very, very vibrant in her faith and always wanting the best for us and always wanting to share this with us. And for me, in the beginning, it wasn't so much that I was on fire with the faith and that I wanted this faith to be my own, but I saw how important it was to her and eventually to you, Dad. And I wanted to make you happy. I wanted you to see that it was important to me too. So I can remember in the summers of being in high school, every single morning, Mama waking us up and saying, "Will you go to Mass with me? Will you come to daily Mass?" And I remember Tori and I being like, "Oh no, again today."
So
but I would go because I honestly I felt that and I wanted to make you happy. But I can say the next summer, before I would go to work every day, I came to Mass. And to be honest, looking back, I'm not exactly sure why. I was a junior in high school, and every morning in the summer I came to Mass. And I think it was honestly looking back because the Holy Spirit really inspired me when I was at Mass with you to encourage me to keep going. So even though in the beginning these changes that you kind of brought to our family might not have stuck with us, we saw a change in you, and we wanted the same change for ourselves. And it was really the Holy Spirit through you and Papa that really brought that change unto us.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that is something, I can sort of, you know, even though I was an adult, I was sort of a child in my faith at the time, Janet, you were coming into yours, and I really, you know, we all looked to your example, and you never kind of like imposed your faith on us.
Yeah.
It was always an invitation. It was always like,
yes.
You know, I'm excited about it, and here's why, you know, and,
Definitely. You know,
she would try to, you know, draw us into that excitement along the way.
Well, you know, I just want to say, too, I'm sure there's somebody listening maybe in the same boat. Maybe you're married to someone who has no faith or their faith is very weak. Maybe you have children who are away from the faith and you're wondering what you can do. Truly, I was like, if it wasn't for Holy Spirit radio catechizing me, I wouldn't have known in what direction to go in. But I had just the basic goal of mentioning God's name once a day. That was my goal. If I could bring God's name up once a day, then I felt, okay, we're starting to grow in that direction. And now, why don't you share the little game that you kind of play remember when I would go to college to visit you, and you would take a little watch out, Vanessa, and you would say, okay, 15 seconds, and God's name has been mentioned. My mother went a whole 15 seconds.
Yes.
Drew and I, this wasn't even at school, this is at home. I think we were coming home from college one time from D.C. We went to Catholic University.
Still play the same, by the way.
Yeah, you just don't know it. And it's how long our mom will go without bringing up either something about religious or pro-life or God's name, and it's typically under about 60 seconds.
I think what's funny now is that we kind of all do it too. Like, I mean, even if she's not bringing up our faith, we are, you know, whether it's at the dinner table or whatever we're doing in the car.
And I just think God is so good because you just start out with a small step and you just go in that direction. And His grace is abundant. And as long as you're persevering and you have Him in your heart, He will absolutely guide you and your family and bring you places you never dreamed possible.
So let's just remind everyone, you're listening to WISP 1570 AM and 1420 AM, and you're listening to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm here with my wife, Janet, and my wonderful family all together here. It's a rare privilege we have here. So we're going to continue on. Let me turn, to the next step in your journeys on your, you know, again, to the three kids first, and then we're going to circle in back with the others here. But, you know, tell us about how your faith life evolved, and was there a point when it, or how did it evolve to you, you know, through college years and into adulthood? You know, what transformations happened? Did it become a faith of your own versus the faith of your parents? Or when did it become the faith of your own? So maybe you want to share about that, Drew?
Well, for me, it really didn't happen until college. I went away to college. My parents looked at me and said, you know, we'll help you with college, but you have to go to a Catholic university. So I chose the one with Catholic in the name, so there wasn't going to be any mistake about it. So I went to the Catholic University of America down in D.C. And even my freshman year there, I didn't really get too involved in my faith. I wasn't, and it was a place that was perfect for me because it had a very strong faith life, but if you didn't want it, they didn't force it down your throat. So it was really ready for me when I wanted it and when I needed it. So I remember at the tail end of my freshman year, for some reason, I must have impressed someone. They do this retreat every year for the new incoming freshmen, and the sophomores, I was going to become a sophomore, led the retreat. For some reason, I was not involved at all within campus ministry. I didn't go to church. So I somehow impressed someone, I suppose.
I was not aware of that.
They asked me to be one of the leaders for this retreat team. And the only reason why I said yes was the previous night, one of my friends had dragged me to Mass. It was like the first time I think I went to Mass in months at school. And I remember sitting there, and I remember thinking to myself, all right, I will do something for you, God, but only if you come to me. There's a flyer. I'm not going to sign up for anything for the flyer. I'm not going to call anyone. It really has to be, you come to me, and all I have to do is say yes, and then I'll do it. literally the next day, someone comes to my dorm room, knocks on the door, and says, do you want to lead this retreat team? And I was like, really? And so of course I said yes, and that really started the whole process for me. And I got in touch with other students who were very open with their faith, and some of them were already my friends, but we were engaging on a new level now, on a faith-based level, and we kind of journeyed together. And that was something really important, that I had people to journey with together who are at a similar level as me. And that was one of the great joys of being at college. I was able to learn these things together with people.
I'll never forget you coming home from your freshman year and bursting through the door and asking me if I had any books by Christopher West on theology of the body. Did my heart go pitter-patter in hearing that? And of course, I did have books. But I want to say that, especially for mothers out there whose children are away from the faith, Saint Monica. You cannot pray to a better saint than Saint Monica to look over your children. And
remind everyone who Saint Monica is. That she is the mother of Saint Augustine,
Sure.
who was away from the church for so many years, never was even part of the church for so many years, and her constant lifelong prayer ultimately led to his very powerful conversion into the faith and to become one of the greatest writers of and doctors of our church.
And certainly, my prayer for you going off to college, Drew, was not that you'd be joyful and happy, mm-hmm. but that you would feel some pain and suffering and know that you are not the center of the world and that you need God for everything. And with Saint Monica, I can remember going to the Mass, the closing Mass of the first weekend that you were off in college, and there we sat underneath the beautiful statue of Saint Monica, and I knew that she would watch over you, and I prayed that she would kick your butt, so to speak, because I wanted to make sure that you would be an active Catholic, and and you certainly did become one, and I'm so blessed.
So, Tori, did you have any thoughts on your early adult years or late teenage years?
Yeah. So we three went to a public high school. And so I felt really comfortable with my identity in high school because I was always kind of the Catholic girl, and we grew up with that faith in our home for a number of years at that point. So that was so wonderful. And then going to college, I chose to follow my big brother to Catholic University. But it was really kind of alarming and jarring for me to see all of these Catholic kids who identified as Catholic and truly believed they were Catholic, but who weren't living that faith in their lives in college. And I think that really kind of threw me for a little bit. And it was difficult to figure out what my identity was. But you really meet such wonderful people at this school. Not to plug Catholic U too much, but it's wonderful. And then meeting my husband, Rob, and then also the theology classes we would take, and just really being surrounded with your faith and being invited to a deeper level with it and to a deeper meaning and to understand it and to kind of become an adult in your faith in that environment was really such a blessing.
Yeah, and I think, my experience just watching the two of you as a college couple, I think each one of you kind of reinforced the face of the other.
Definitely.
I have a particular memory of you, Tori, when you were in college, and I was in the seminary and
studying for
my ordination as a deacon, and I was just taking a class on Bible, you know, the Old Testament, and actually some earlier religions, even like sort of the, some of the pagan religions before that, Mithra and all those,
oh, yes.
Yeah, those guys. And you were just, you know, challenging all the, you know, those things yourself. And I just prayed to God. I was like, thank you for just giving me, you know, it felt like I was fully armed, you know, to defend the faith against your questions.
You were,
at the
you were. It was wonderful.
And I was walking into a final exam that, like, within an hour after I was talked with you. So I was like, I had all this stuff right in my head, you know, and she had all these questions about, and it's kind of the stuff that's in this movie Zeitgeist now. It's like same kind of stuff that is easily defended by our Catholic faith. But I just was so thankful that I had that moment with you, and that I was able to, you know, give you good answers. And then I saw you, two of you, really, you know, I think, Rob, you really, you know, nurtured her faith and brought that out in her. So we'll come back to your faith journey as a couple, but that was my one memory of you, Tori, there, as you developed. And Tori, I'm Vanessa. Sorry, yeah, we do that all the time. Call each other, each kid the wrong name here. But Vanessa, what about you?
Thanks, Dad. So for me, it was the same type of thing. As I said, in high school, I really had the beginnings of the faith that my parents gave me, and I was going to Mass in the summer during the week, and I would pray the Rosary, and I was doing these repetitions and these you know, practicing of the sacraments, but I was lacking the feeling behind it and that passion, and I was missing that joy, and I wasn't receiving the grace fully. And for me, I followed the track of my older brother and sister, also going to Catholic University, and I found the thing that I was missing to really bring that joy, and that was the Catholic friends and a fellowship and community and this joy that was given to me by all these other people my age that loved Jesus as much as I wanted to. And so for me, when I went to Catholic, at that retreat that Drew was talking about, the freshman retreat, I went on it, not the one he led, but the years later, and they had this big night of adoration and confession. And when I went to confession that night, I have never, I don't know, I felt like that was the first time that I really, really reflected on my sins and really wanted to be forgiven and really start my faith anew with full force, you know, go at it, kind of like Mama coming out of her surgery. And that night for me was so memorable. Going to confession was the start of my new life, at Catholic, of my new life as a Catholic, and giving me that faith and having friends. I can't express this enough. Having friends and fellowship and community of believers is exactly what you need to give you strength, to grow, to help you persevere in the faith, and to receive graces. It's something that still today I find just as important. I'm sure even as the family, our community of faith, as we're talking about, it was so necessary for me to gain my faith, to have those friends.
Right. And that's, I think, something we noticed with all three of you, that there was, you know, there's this moment as a parent when you raise your children in the faith as best you can, but there's a moment that comes when it's like, okay, someone else has to help them take the next step to get even closer to God and make the faith their own.
And it's just so important for us as parents to really witness our faith with joy and with love and with patience, because it is the best gift that we can give our children, is the witness of our faith. For myself, having to face my mortality, you know, you think to yourself, who's going to love your kids the way a mama loves their kids? Of course, the father loves the children, don't get me wrong, but there's something about a mother's love for their children that it was just mind-boggling to me. What were they going to do without me, especially when they were much younger? And then I came to realize, as my faith grew, that God loves them more than I could ever possibly love them. And if they could have their faith and that relationship with God, I knew whether or not I was there that they would be well taken care of. So I just feel so blessed to know that they've each grown in the faith and had their own little yes, and continue every day on that path, on that journey, because it never ends. It right. is an ongoing journey, your relationship with God.
Right. And once again, listeners, just remind you all that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio and WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. This is the show of Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet, and my wonderful family. So at this point, you know, what I'd like to do, guys, is turn the discussion sort of, you all exist not only as family members, but also as a couple. So I want to spend some time with each of you, talking about the faith journey of the other person, and then also the journey of you together as a couple. So first, we have Drew's girlfriend,
We didn't mention Drew's age. Drew, you didn't mention your age.
Yeah, I said I'm 26.
You did? Okay, good. 26. All right,
definitely talk about it.
Okay.
So, Laura, if you want to just introduce yourself quickly, a little background on yourself.
Okay. My name is Laura. I am 26. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and I'm a government contractor.
And how did you meet?
We met through DC Kickball, and it's a kickball league for adults.
Very juvenile, actually.
It was a lot of fun. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, tell us about, you know, what was life like for you in your early days in your family as you came, you know,
growing up in your faith.
Growing up in the Catholic family.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I've always defined myself as Catholic. Not sure about the rest of my family, but I was brought up Catholic. I went through all the sacraments. I did everything I was supposed to do. I thought I was supposed to do. I would go to Sunday Mass and everything. And the person who really, like, backed that was my mother. She's the one who's always been going with me, and she was always supportive. But by the time I went to college, it kind of dropped off.
Sure.
I did not go to Catholic University, even though I go there now.
Graduate studies,
make
yes.
Yeah. I just went to, you know, the University of Maryland, and I didn't go to church, didn't do much, didn't get involved really with any sort of groups or anything.
Sure.
And that carried on a little bit later until I was a young adult living in Arlington. And it really changed when I met Drew and your whole family and how dedicated you guys are to your faith and how I see that you guys have this, like, love for each other. And I just really want to be able to, like, experience that too. And so Drew has helped me actually become more dedicated to my faith and just move in the way I'd like to move. Like, just like to get closer to God and, you know, be more dedicated to my faith and things like that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I think, you know, we're all on that journey. You know,
absolutely.
We all enter the stream at a different point, but we're all heading down the same river.
Yeah.
So, now tell us a little bit, maybe Drew and, you know, your faith life together and, you know, what's changed and what's still growing.
Well, one of the, you know, best things about dating Laura was, or just anyone, was you want to have that, Catholic. Well, I want to take it general first. Just you, for myself, I wanted to have you know, that Catholic relationship, and especially once I left Catholic University, that becomes a lot harder. And it wasn't until I met Laura that I found that type of relationship. And, you know, she said she wasn't heavily Catholic at that time, but one of the best things about Laura was that she was always very open to all those things. We had a great relationship right off from the start, and when I kind of said, you know, these are the things that are important to me, she understood that, and she didn't, it wasn't a wall for her. It was always very much something that, like, ooh, that's something I'd like to look into. I'd like to learn more about. So that was, I mean, if that wasn't there, I doubt our relationship would be strong as it is right now, or even there, I'm not sure. So she's been very strong throughout this, and very open to everything regarding the faith. And I really think it really took it to a whole nother level when she met my family. When she met the family, then she was like, oh wow, like I like a light bulb clicked. I was like, I get it. Like it was definitely a turning point. I think.
Yeah.
When she met all of you guys, especially Tori and Rob, I think, them being a very young, about to be married couple.
At that time, yes.
When they, at the wedding, or was it before?
No, before
the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was right around that time that you know, she could see your relationship, and
Papa was ordained just at that same time.
Yes,
yeah.
Attended the ordination. Yeah. Yeah. So she had a lot of big events right in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that, I think that was really, really important. And she took it in stride. And I don't know. I don't know if you want to say anything. She agrees.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good. Let's turn to. Actually, we're going to do Kieran and Vanessa next. Even though they're not right chronologically, we're going to skip around. But so, you know, Kieran, why don't you introduce yourself? Kieran is Vanessa's boyfriend.
Yeah, so my name's Kieran. I'm born and raised in Boston, but I also went to Catholic University. I'm now studying, I'm actually at Boston College as well, studying for a master's in higher education for Catholic colleges. So I'm going to be working in Catholic colleges and universities. I had kind of a different experience from Vanessa. My parents were both Catholic. I come from an Irish Catholic family. So the question of going to Mass on a weekend, for the kids at least, it didn't exist. We had to be there. My grandparents would have probably gotten rid of my parents if we hadn't done that.
Good for
but
them.
But for them, it wasn't. They didn't always see it as necessary that they were there. And they, to this day, rarely go to Sunday Mass. And so that was always a great difficulty. My faith, it existed, but it was a very kind of a dry faith. It was more of an intellectual assent than any kind of a passion for living a Christian life. And so that was difficult. I didn't have much of a community of faith. There were people that I would see at Mass, but when I went home, there was no prayer at home. When I was with friends, there was no prayer with friends. So there wasn't necessarily that support. There wasn't that kind of inspiration. I'd say the real turning point for me when it began to become my own was in high school. I went to like a public school. It was an exam school, but it was a public school.
Yeah, it was a Boston Latin, right?
Boston Latin school, oldest public school in the country. And it was both a challenge and a blessing, because while I was one of the few sort of strong Catholics there, you had people asking me questions like, oh, why does the church believe this? Oh, Kieran, you're so wrong about this and this and this. And that it was really difficult, but what that forced me to do was to research, to learn more about my own faith, so that I could come back and say, well, the reason why I believe this and why the church teaches this is for, reason A, B, and C. And that was a real growth, but still, it was more intellectual than passionate. And so when I came to CUA, I finally had that community of believers, where I got to see an example of people living out that Christian life and having that passionate faith.
Interesting. All right. So you really had to explore the faith on your own. Without a lot of
a
lot of help. So it's amazing that you had that pull, even though you didn't necessarily have the foundation for it. But there's something there that drew you in, regardless. Which is, the invitation of the Holy Spirit for all of us to draw closer. Mm-hmm. But we have to say yes. There's a moment when we have to say, I want to know more about that. I've heard it. It looks good. I watch other people do it, but now I want to make it mine. And that personal yes moment is a significant event, I think, in everybody here in this room. So let's talk about you two now, Vanessa and Kieran, as a couple. Your faith. How do you share your faith? Has your faith changed now that you've been dating for what, a year and a half now?
Yep.
Or so?
Yep. So for us, our faith is how we met. Actually, we were in our freshman year of college. We were in the same small Catholic Bible study group. They were called Renew. So that's how we met. It was the basis of our friendship, even. I mean, every week this group would come together and we would read the readings for the upcoming Sunday. We'd talk about the challenges of being Catholic in college, and we would do, fraternal activities for bonding and friendship. And so for us, we knew where each other stood on the faith even before our relationship began.
That wasn't the start of our dating relationship. That came much later.
It came 3 years later.
We didn't start dating until the end of our junior year, so 3 whole years after that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'd seen Vanessa, and before I dated this girl, that girl, but what was always lacking in every relationship was that basis of faith. It was always, this gulf between us rather than a bridge that could bring us together. And seeing Vanessa, even before we dated, she was always someone I thought of like, wow, like that is a great Catholic girl. She had all these qualities that I was looking for in someone.
And so for both of us, dating non-Catholic or non-Catholic-centered people really, really helped us to realize that this was, one of the criterion for us for the next relationship that we were going to have. And so when we began to date, it was upfront a priority of ours, and it was
explicitly.
Not
she actually we talked about this
the first thing.
And
I asked him a few things. I said, are you Catholic? Are you really, really Catholic? And I asked him if he liked Star Wars. And all those things were a check, so the relationship began. Very important criteria, ladies. Mm-hmm. From that, even still today, when we go on dates, we make sure that prayer is a part of that, either going to Mass or starting our date with that, or grace before meals and things. Mm-hmm. And we, something that I like that we did is we each, I don't know, this might help other young relationships, but we each picked a saint that that we would you know really entrust our relationship in. And for me, that's St. Anthony, and
for me, it's St. Lawrence.
And so we wear medals of each of these saints, and we ask them for their intercession to guide us in our mm-hmm. relationship, and to just make sure that we always keep God as the center. And without our faith, I really honestly don't even. I wouldn't see our relationship anywhere near where it would be today. It would be lacking in so much.
And I would say, even just as a person, had I not dated someone who put faith first, I would probably stagnate. One of the great things about dating someone who has a strong faith as well is that they call you to more. They keep you accountable and they call you to something greater.
Yeah. So it's been a great journey and we're still on it.
good. All right. Let's now turn over to Tori and her husband Rob. So, Rob, you want to just introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Pops. My name is Rob. I'm a government contractor, like Laura, and also Tori and I now live in Virginia. And, you know, I had a real typical cradle Catholic upbringing. You know, my parents made it mandatory not only for us but for them also to go to Mass every week. We did the sacraments. In fact, I remember very vividly being threatened by my mom that we would have to go to confession if we did something wrong. You know, and I also, you know, did Catholic education. I actually went to Salesianum in Wilmington in high school.
Great school.
Oh, great school. Let me
every
tell
guy
you.
I met from there is.
Yeah, if you're going to recommend Catholic, I'm going to have to recommend Salesianum. And, you know, and it's run by the Oblates of St. Francis Sales. Wonderful, real wonderful theology. But, you know, that's actually where my conversion occurred because, you know, one problem with being the cradle Catholic was. Not, you know, I was going through the motions like most people do, but I had this sense of self-righteousness associated with that where mm-hmm. I didn't quite realize that I was going through the motions. You know, I could argue the faith, I could talk about the faith, but I wasn't really acting the faith mm-hmm. in any way, shape, and form. Mm-hmm. You know, and so in my opinion, it's a really terrible place to be. It's almost like a screw tape letter scenario mm-hmm. where you're actually worse off because you don't realize how bad off you are. And at that point, ego even kicked in, and I was almost developing my own theological reasonings for things to be okay that maybe necessarily weren't okay, mm-hmm. right? And that ego really played a large part until my senior year, in which I went on this retreat. We called it Encounter. A lot of people call it Kairos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have kids who are in high school and have this opportunity, I highly, highly recommend it. And you know, it's a very personal retreat, and one thing that it really brought me to focus on was my own sins and my own, my own unworthiness, as it were, to the faith. And, you know, I was telling Pops this while we were going for a walk. I remember, you know, confession was going on, and, we had just had this talk where I sort of really come to the realization that I wasn't as great as I thought I was, especially as a Catholic. And, you know, here I'm praying, I'm doing this whole examination of conscience for myself, and I see this beautiful, beautiful statue of the Virgin Mary holding her child. And in the sins that I had committed, in the self-righteousness and the ego that I had, I sort of developed this perception that Our Lady was actually shielding the baby from me. And at that moment I just totally broke down. I went to confession as soon as humanly possible, and you know, it still is a constant ebb and flow, you know, within my relationship with God. But one thing that I've always learned is if I ever start to have a distance from God, confession is really all it takes. You know, I start to realize that any argument that I start making or anything that I start doing that is going against God simply is because of my own ego and simply because I'm not willing to accept what it is that I'm doing is wrong. And once I get to that point, I mean, it's all uphill. It's a wonderful
confession.
Exactly.
I talk about this in my homilies all the time. I just find confession one of the most amazing sacraments. The way to kind of cleanse your soul and give yourself, you know, a new start on life and a new, closeness to God, and he gives you another chance to start over again each time. So,
and it doesn't matter how long you've been away. I mean, there was a time, I hate to say this, 25 years away from confession. But now having gone back, I can't imagine being away from it from any period of time.
Absolutely. And
monthly,
oh my goodness,
is the way to go.
It really is something. I mean, as dejected and as down as you may be, just knowing that you're forgiven for all of those terrible sins that you may have done, and you don't deserve it, but the fact that you're given that, that through the mercy of God, really is, in my opinion, one of the highest points of our religion.
And the graces that you receive to continue that desire to not want to sin, or at least to catch yourself quicker and quicker.
Absolutely.
Let's just, as we move on here, just once again, folks, for our listeners, you're listening to WISP, Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. And the show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet, and our entire family. So, you know, we're talking about this being the weekend of the Feast of the Holy Family. We just thought this was appropriate to talk about our family and our role as parents and our failures as parents and triumphs as parents in raising a family that tries to adhere to the Catholic faith. So I want to turn back to, you know, we've listened to Drew and Laura and now Kieran and Vanessa talk about now Rob and Turi, you know, your faith life as a couple and how has that evolved and where is it now?
Sure. Would you like to start? Or
sure. well, I've always felt that loving Rob brings me closer to God. He's just such an incredible person, and it's just beautiful to...
We are taping this, Rob, so you're going to get
this. Thank you.
You can play this back anytime you want.
Can I get a sound bite of that?
It's just so wonderful to be able to share our faiths together. I can't imagine... I know many people, you know, find a wonderful person to spend their life with, but, you know, maybe don't share the same faith. Personally, for me, I always knew that I needed someone who was going to be Catholic and be on that journey with me and propping me up whenever I needed it. And I really feel like Rob does that for me and that I do that for him.
Oh, and absolutely. I mean, going back to the whole ego thing, Tori's great at knocking down my ego. But in all seriousness, you know, one thing that I always loved about Tori was her ability to use logic and reason and ability to communicate that to other individuals. And especially me, you know, when I start to think that I'm, you know, very rational and doing something, you know, the right logical way, she's very, very good at saying, well, Rob, take a step back. Why are you doing, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you approaching it this way? And applying that into our faith setting, you know, why would you necessarily consider this a good approach to take or not a good approach to take? Why would you judge this individual? You know, why? And constantly bringing things back to the way they should be, you know, and the perception back to the way it should. And Tori has always been phenomenal in that way. And so, you know, whenever I go off on my little tangents, I really appreciate that she's always bringing me back. She's always, you know, my light in the darkness.
I think we do compliment each other in
you
that
do.
Way. And
you
it's
do very well.
It's a great blessing.
And now soon you'll be welcoming a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Cannot wait.
Yes.
Cannot
yes.
wait.
And we're excited as new grandparents, too.
And how is that? How has that affected your faith life, knowing that you're bringing a baby into the world?
I think it just makes us so much more aware of everything and, you know, kind of making little mental notes. Oh, make sure we share that with our children.
Yeah.
Make sure we do this. And kind of just drawing on our own experiences growing up, what really affected us and, you know, just different things we want to incorporate into their childhoods.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I've been doing a lot recently is reading these you know, daddy versions of baby books, and one thing they never really go into is faith and how to share faith. And so, for your listeners out there, if you're a good writer, I highly recommend you writing a baby book on how to share your faith with the baby, because you know, I think that's something that is certainly lacking. But you know, one thing that we have talked about is, you know, how do we share our faith with our child, and how do we help them discover that faith themselves? And you know, obviously, we certainly have a long way to go, and every day certainly will be an interesting test. But you know, it just really is an interesting time for us, just trying to determine, you know, what worked for us, what didn't, and knowing that this is going to be a totally different life with a totally different experience from day one, you know, how can we utilize our knowledge and impart that into this child so that it could know God?
And I think also knowing that, like, we have to remember, we've never done this before, you know, so we just have to, you know, have faith and trust and really rely on each other. We're, you know, like I said, how we really kind of complement each other so well in our faith. I think that's going to really come into play when we have children, and especially, you know, sharing our faith with them and kind of co-parenting in that way. You know, a lot of parents find it so important to be on the same page with their discipline. You know, if you're not on the same page, then you're not going to be effective in disciplining your children. I think the same thing applies to your faith. If you're not on the same page there, you're not going to be effective in passing that faith on to your children.
Yeah. There's some statistics out. It's talk about the role of both parents in the faith development of a child, and that if it's only one parent, you know, you have like a 75% chance of getting that faith passed on into their adulthood. If both parents are active in the faith, you get a much higher percentage. Well, put it this way, if they're not both active, it's only like a 2 or 3% chance that your child will be active in the faith if you are not active in your faith.
Wow.
So, yeah, the odds are really stacked against you if you don't pass the faith on, and they're really in your favor if you do.
And that's a good springboard for this question, whoever would like to answer it. As children who have been on that end, what advice do you have for parents to help parents on that journey of being able to pass on the faith? What worked? What worked most, do you think?
Well, we were discussing a little bit before, but I really felt like just not being a hypocrite in your faith is something that's really important, because you see someone act out their faith, but if they're saying one thing, but they're doing another thing, I don't think we would have been as interested in our faith as we are today.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that our mother definitely... what happened with our mothers, there was a noticeable difference in her before her faith life and after her faith life. And if she, and it was a great change. Like, I really think
good change.
We were happy before, but we were just that much more happier afterwards.
And probably you're seeing quality, you mean talking about like more peaceful,
yeah,
living
exactly.
More in the present moment, not
you.
Rushing through things.
Yes, yes.
Patient, more
patient,
kind,
yes.
More loving, yep.
Yes, every attribute she already had was accentuated.
And isn't he a sweet? You said that nicely, sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll remember that one.
And so, just seeing this transformation and knowing that it was real, that there was something else behind it. She wasn't just saying these things, but she was still the same person. There was a difference in her, and that difference was good. So I really think it's important to say these things, to say God once a day, to whatever those things are for you, but to also really make sure you're not only saying God, but you're living God.
Mm.
And something that I saw so important was never stop catechizing your children, either through words, but mostly through your actions. Because for us, our parents, their actions, their love, that's really what springboarded our faith. And I see a lot of parents, like my friend's parents, where they went off to college and they stopped going to church, and the parents felt that they couldn't, you know, encourage or tell their children that they should go to Mass anymore because they're adults. And the thing is, you know, we're still your children. If you if you encourage us and you push us to do something, we'll do it because we care about you.
Right.
And what you say sticks with us, even if not in the moment. Maybe we're not listening at the time you say it, but we remember it. And hopefully as we grow in years, we'll remember the wise things that you taught us. So keep catechizing. Never stop.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think our family is definitely still doing. And it's just so wonderful because, like Vanessa said, we will always, as children, you always have respect for your parents, and I think parents don't realize the effect that they can still have on their kids, even when they're in their 20s, when they're in their 30s, you know, they think that they're done. Oh, they have kids of their own now. No, it's still a time to be sharing more with them.
Sharing joyfully, hopefully, and with charity and a lot of patience.
And, you know, that's really, you know, the ultimate job of parents. You know, first, as a husband and wife, your job is to get your spouse into heaven, and your role as a parent is to get your children into heaven. And that means, you know, being that witness, being that that voice. You know, and I would encourage, a lot of parents are aware of their faith and know it, but they don't necessarily know the details. You know, this generation, more than others, really needs to know why we believe what we do. Not just what we believe, but why we believe. And it's sort of the job of parents to try to be, you know, do some homework on your own and do some research so that when those questions come up, even if you don't know the answer, say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to do some homework and get back to you.
Absolutely.
And then do that. And you'll learn, and then your kids will see that it's important to you, and they'll learn as well.
That's definitely something we experienced, I think. Just seeing, you know, you kind of looking into it more and finding the answers for us that we needed
right.
was so special to know that my, you know, my parents wanted to do that for me,
right.
to bring me deeper into my faith.
Right, right, right.
Well, on that wonderful note, we have a beautiful closing prayer.
Yeah, well, thank you, folks, for, first of all, just sharing and listening with us
yes.
and during this Christmas season, during the Feast of the Holy Family, which is this Sunday. We just thought it was a particularly useful time to kind of get us all together. We're all here at home for the holidays anyway, so we just took advantage of that, and hopefully you can bring some of that into your family and share some faith and grow in faith as a family. And so we have a closing prayer here, and we ask, I'll say, if we just all start off in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, bless our family. Be so kind as to give us the unity, peace, and mutual love that you found in your own family in that little town of Nazareth. Mother Mary, bless Janet, the mother of our family. Help her to be pure and kind and gentle and self-sacrificing. And then we ask that for all the mothers of all the family listeners we have. For the more the mothers resemble you, the better our family will be. St. Joseph, I ask for your blessing as the head of my family. Grant me the strength and the wisdom and the prudence I need to support and direct those in my care. And we ask that for all the fathers here and fathers-to-be here in our radio listening area to get that strength and wisdom and direct those in your care. And Lord Jesus, bless the children of our family. Help them make them more and more like you. Let them grow as you did in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. And the Holy Family of Nazareth, make our family and home more and more like yours until we are all one family, happy and at peace in our one true home with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, children, and
thank you.
Laura,
thank you guys,
Kieran, and Rob.
You.
God bless you all for
God
being
bless
here.
You all, and Happy New Year to
and
our
Merry
listeners.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. God bless.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.